In today's gospel reading, Jesus offers us an invitation and a promise. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I suspect that most, if not all of us, find this invitation appealing. We welcome the opportunity to be granted rest, true rest, from the burdens and weariness of our day-to-day lives. For me and my family, this past week offered an opportunity for rest. We spent the past week at Canuga, the Episcopal Retreat Center, located in the mountains just outside of Hendersonville. Last Saturday, 1 week ago, we loaded up our minivan with our three kids and our luggage and made the 1 hour trip to Canuga. We reconnected with old friends and made new friends. We had all of our meals prepared for us, and we lived a simple life of enjoying the outdoors, hiking, fishing, reading books, taking afternoon naps, doing crafts, playing games together, and worshiping together. And yesterday, we loaded up our minivan with our three kids and luggage and made the 1 hour trip back home. After we got home and unloaded the car and the kids, I even extended the vacation by immediately taking another 2 hour nap. Over the past week, I have pondered the notion of rest that Jesus offers in this passage. This is the time of year, summertime, when we traditionally think of getting away for rest and relaxation, for respite and rejuvenation. Given the academic calendar that many of us, due to our children, our jobs, our extended families, due to that calendar that we must plan our years and lives around, this is the time of year that we are most likely plan a vacation. However, I think it is fair to say that Jesus wasn't offering the crowd an all-inclusive, all-expense-paid, week-long summer vacation in the passage that we just heard. We know that in part because the people to whom Jesus was talking in his day, the disciples and the crowds to whom he preached, they were not people who lived in an economy and a culture where summer vacations were the means by which people found rest. For me, and I expect many of us, a vacation is an interruption, a pleasant interruption, but an interruption nonetheless of our regular life and work schedule. We try to plan ahead for vacations, getting things done in advance, making provision for someone to handle the things that will need to be done so that our absence is not too inconvenient for those with whom we work or live. But we also leave on vacation expecting that our work will be there when we return, that our lives, our regular lives and schedules will be there when we return. The vacation will end, the restful interruption will be over, and we will get back to our regular lives and work. Jesus, on the other hand, is offering to his followers then and now something much more substantial, much more life-altering than a mere temporary interruption in our labors. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And then he continues, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus offers us rest for our souls if we will come to him and learn from him. Hopefully, as we take vacations, as we get away from work, from our regular lives, for times of rest and rejuvenation, we are allowing ourselves space where we can be in the presence of God, where we can open ourselves to the rest for our souls that Jesus offers us. But if we are truly to know the peace of Christ, the rest that he offers if we come to him, then we must learn to structure our day-to-day lives in a way that allows for the rest that Jesus offers, so that we can rest in him in the midst of our labors, not merely when they are done or temporarily interrupted. The great Anglican spiritual writer Evelyn Underhill made this point well when she wrote the following 80 years ago. We spend our lives conjugating three verbs: to want, to have, and to do. Craving, clutching, fussing, forgetting that none of these verbs have any ultimate significance, except so far as they are transcended by and included in that fundamental verb, to be. And that being, not wanting, having, and doing, is the essence of the spiritual life. Ultimately, in other words, we must find ways to focus on being in the presence of Christ, so that we can then accept the rest that he offers. We can find his presence, we can be in his presence almost anywhere, but we certainly can find it amongst his body, Christ's body, the church, as we gather together in worship, in fellowship, in praise and prayer. And we can also find it in solitude, in solitary prayer, in quiet. During this week, this past week at Canuga, I found rest in his presence in many moments. In the joy of watching children, especially our children, making new friends. In the shared laughter, as a crowd delighted at the unexpected sight of a grown man dancing in the torrential downpour of rain. And in the prayerful solitude that I found in sketching and painting scenes of creation by the lakeside. Though each of these involved wanting, having, and doing, they were each transcended by being. By being with others. By being in the moment. By being with God's creation. And in each one, I found true rest. And it is only through the true rest that comes from knowing Christ, from being in his presence, that we will be able, truly able, to ease the burdens and weariness of our lives. For the burdens of our lives are lightened, are made easier by him who carried the greatest burden for all of us, so that we might be able to come to him and find rest.